In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today as we continue to rejoice because the Lord has been raised to life and he has been seen by Simon Peter and the disciples. The Lord is risen from the dead. Because of the resurrection, anything and everything can happen. Jesus Christ on the cross destroyed death, Satan, the grave, on the cross and on the resurrection. Oh yes, resurrection day for the church will last 8 days. It will be resurrection day for 8 days. And then we continue to celebrate the risen Christ until Pentecost, which 50 days after the resurrection day. So I'm telling you today that Jesus has been raised from the dead, and that means anything can happen. Jesus is the Lord, and he has given us authority to heal the sick, to comfort the widow, to be his presence to people, because the Holy Spirit dwells within us. I'm reading from the 20th chapter of St. John. On the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and she saw that the stone had been taken away from the sepulchre. Why was the stone taken away? To let Jesus out? No. To let the disciples come in. The stone was taken away from the tomb to let the disciples come in. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, and said unto them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and I do not know where they have laid him." Peter therefore went forth with that other disciple and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter. Why? Because he's younger. And he came first to the sepulchre, and he stooped down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet he did not go in to the sepulchre. Then comes Simon Peter following him, and he, Simon Peter, went into the sepulchre, and he sees the linen clothes lying, and the napkin that was about his face not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in the other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed, oh yes. He saw and believed, oh yes, he believed that Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. Peter still is in darkness. He doesn't realize what's happened. He just knows that the body of the Lord is gone. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary, that's Mary Magdalene, stood outside at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre. And she sees two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said unto her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said unto them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." And when she had thus said, she turned herself around and saw Jesus standing, and didn't know that it was Jesus. Jesus said unto her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, "Sir, if they have borne him hence, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said unto her, Mary. And she turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which means, my little teacher. I tell you, my friends, that Jesus was beckoned by Mary Magdalene's love. Love beckons Jesus. Love beckons Jesus. And there she was, weeping outside the tomb. Love beckons Jesus. And you know, I'm going to show something to you in a couple of seconds that's just phenomenal. Jesus said unto her, Touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but you go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. They don't believe it. They don't believe it. What did Jesus say to Mary Magdalene? Don't touch me. I have not yet gone to my Father and your Father. What did Jesus say to Thomas? Put your hands in my hands and your hand in my side and see that it's me. So what does that mean? Jesus, when it comes to Thomas, has already ascended to the Father and come back. But Jesus makes a trip especially for Mary Magdalene because love beckons Jesus. The love of the Magdalene, which she was delivered of 7 demons, the love of Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene becomes an apostle to the apostles. Apostle means witness of the resurrection. Mary Magdalene saw Jesus first. Mary Magdalene goes back and tells the disciples, I have seen the Lord. But let me tell you this, they do not believe it. They do not believe it, I'm telling you. They do not believe it. Unfortunately, they have to find out for themselves. Then that same day, at evening, the first day of the week, when the doors were shut for fear of the Jews, the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you. Oh, yes. Receive that word today. Peace be unto you. Jesus, the risen Lord, gives peace to his followers. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. They didn't believe until they saw for themselves. Mary Magdalene came to witness about the resurrection. They didn't believe until they saw for themselves. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so I send you. And when he had said this, Jesus breathed on them, and said unto them, Receive you the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. Whosoever sins that you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. So we see Jesus is giving the apostles the ability to forgive sins. We believe that in the Catholic Church, that from the apostles come the bishops, and from the bishops come the priests. There's the succession of we have the succession of the early church all the way until today. Apostolic succession, it's called. But you know what? God wants us to have apostolic succession, but he also wants us to have apostolic success. And apostolic success comes through faith, believing in Jesus, that he has given his church authority to heal the sick, to cleanse the leper, and to raise people from the dead. He has given his church authority, and you don't need to accept that authority. Most people are not accepting that authority, but yet he has given to the believer of every faith, the believer, authority to pray for the sick and to see them get better. Why? because Jesus Christ has died for our sins, and he's been raised from the dead, and he breathes in us the Holy Spirit, and he gives us authority to heal the sick, to cleanse the lepers, and to raise the dead. We have not raised the dead yet, but you know what? We've seen a lot of dead people come alive. We've seen a lot of dead people come alive. There's nothing as dead as somebody who comes to church and they're just there. They don't know A from B or B from C, and the Lord touches them and they become regenerated by the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's a marvelous thing to see people be regenerated. I remember one man that I preached to him for, I'd say, 15 years I preached. And you know what? It was like the words were like water coming off his head. It never, ever struck him. He was there, but never struck him. And I would be preaching my heart out about the love of Jesus, about the power of Jesus. And I knew that God wanted to touch this man, but this man was not open. Oh, yes, he was in church, but he was not open. I saw the word of God come off his head like water, never ever touching his heart. I don't understand why. I don't understand why. I understand that. And I've also seen people come in who haven't been to church in decades, and God touches them, and they become the most beautiful Christians in the world. I tell you, we all need to be changed by the risen Lord. Every one of us needs to be changed by the risen Lord. I need to be changed from one degree of glory to the next by the risen Lord, who is Jesus Christ. So we see Jesus gives the apostles and the priests the power to remit sin. Now, Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, which means twin, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto Thomas, "We have seen the Lord." But Thomas said unto them, "Except I shall see in his hands the print of his nails, and put my finger into the print of his nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." After 8 days again his disciples were within, and Thomas was with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, "Peace be unto you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach here your finger, and behold my hands. Reach here your hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but be believing." Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." Oh, yes. He realizes that Jesus himself is Lord and God with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Oh, I tell you, Jesus has already ascended to the Father and has come back, because with Mary Magdalene, "Touch me not, I have not yet ascended to the Father." With Thomas, "You can touch me." That means he's ascended to the Father. I'm telling you, love beckoned Jesus. Love beckoned Jesus. And with Thomas, doubt beckoned Jesus. Doubt beckoned Jesus. I tell you, Thomas was a doubter. But I don't proclaim Thomas to be the doubter always, because he died as a martyr. We should be as faithful as Thomas. Oh, yes, he doubted at the beginning, but I'm telling you, he died. He died in India. Oh, yes. He died in India. He went to preach in India. Oh, yes. The people of India say they have the remains of the body of Thomas. Oh, yes, that's wonderful. Wonderful. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Jesus has given his church authority. Thomas now realizes that Jesus is alive. And Thomas cries out, "My Lord and my God." When the Jehovah Witnesses come to your house, you point to that passage, "My Lord and my God." And then you point to the first chapter of Acts, the 8th verse. "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses." Whose witnesses? The witnesses of Jesus. Jesus is God. Hallelujah. With the Father and the Holy Spirit. Jesus is Lord. Jesus said unto Thomas, you believe because you've seen me, and you have believed because you've seen me. Blessed are they that have not seen me and yet believed. Yes, blessed are they that have not seen me and yet believed. And many other signs Jesus did in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written that you might believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that believing in his name, you might have life through his name, eternal life. Jesus Christ has given the disciples eternal life through his death and resurrection, I tell you. I'm going to read that again. These things have been written that you might believe. John wrote them so that we might believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that believing in Jesus, you might have eternal life through his name. I tell you, that's why we tell people the first book you want to read that you've come back to God is the book of John, because these things have been written that you might believe, and that believing in Jesus, you might have eternal life. Eternal life is what? Is this, to believe in the one true God that and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. And so I want to talk about authority. I say that poor Christians and poor priests and poor ministers, we do not know who we are in the risen Lord. We just think that, you know, we have to please the people. It's not in pleasing the people. It's in pleasing God. It's in pleasing God. We had the Sacred Triduum in our church, and it was very beautiful and very reverent and very holy. It was wonderful. We have two priests, Father Joseph and I, and I just want to make a comment about the altar service. They were so into it. They were so into it. They were so part of the liturgy. They were just so beautiful, these young little kids. You know, they're just so beautiful. And it's so wonderful to see people being touched by the risen Lord. It's so wonderful to see people being touched by the crucified Lord. During Good Friday, we always have the liturgy of the cross, where people come and kiss the feet of Jesus. And, you know, I've seen people melt as they have kissed the feet of Jesus. I've seen faith coming down from heaven as some people have kissed the feet of Jesus. Oh, yes, and then these same people celebrate the glorious resurrection. Oh, I remember when I was a young child and I was starting to have doubts. I went to a Holy Saturday service, and at the Gloria, they started singing Glory to God in the Highest in Latin, and the bells were ringing, and they took off the cloths from the statues, and I just remember the power of God coming upon me like I've never experienced it. That was when I was young. But that's not the baptism of the Spirit. That happened when I was 21, and the Lord changed my life again, and he filled me with his Holy Spirit, and I began to experience the power of God. It is wonderful to experience the presence of God. It is wonderful to experience the presence and the power. Most Christians and most priests and deacons and ministers, they do not know who they are in Christ. As a matter of fact, we are the most important people on the world. Why? Because of us? No. Because Jesus Christ dwells in us by the power of the Holy Spirit. It has nothing to do with who I am. It has something to do with who I carry. And I carry Jesus Christ in my heart. Even when my heart feels like it's broken, Jesus is in my heart. And he wants me to know and wants you to know that you carry him, if you are a believer, in the power of the Holy Spirit, and that you have been given authority. Oh, yes, that authority is from Christ himself. He gives that authority to his church, to his bishops, to his priests, to his people. Oh, yes. But you've got to use the authority. It's like a muscle. If you don't use it, you lose it. You've got to use that authority. If you don't use it, you lose it. We don't want to lose the authority. We want to spread that authority to bring all people to Jesus. The authority that God's given me is not for myself. It's for others, that people would be brought to Jesus Christ, who is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. That's why I have authority. Authority, and to believe that because of his death and resurrection, there is healing for the whole man, be it physical, spiritual, psychological. I want you to pray for a certain person. This person is a young person, and this person is really being hassled by the enemy. I want you to pray for him right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, through the power of the cross, I ask you to help this person. I ask you to deliver this person. I ask you to bring light into this person, because he loves you, and he loves you so much. So now, Lord, touch this person through the power of your death and resurrection. Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead and has appeared to Simon Peter. Amen, amen, alleluia, alleluia. Jesus Christ is risen today. Alleluia. A triumphant holy day. Alleluia. Who did once upon the cross, alleluia, suffer to redeem our loss, alleluia. He's been raised from the dead. He's been raised from the dead because he wants to claim you as his very own. He's been raised from the dead because he wants to live in you by the Holy Spirit. He's been raised from the dead because he wants to deliver you from the power of darkness and to bring you into the power of God's eternal light. That light that shines on the face of Jesus, that glory that shines on the face of Jesus. He wants to fill you with the presence of God, fill you with the love of God, fill you with the authority of God. Oh, if Christians only knew the authority that Christ has given them, we could change the world. But we are literally blindfolded from that authority. We say, well, I'm too weak. Yeah. If you're weak, then he can be your strength. I'm too sinful. Well, if you're sinful, he can be your forgiveness. I'm too stupid. Well, the only thing you have to do is to surrender to Jesus. That's all you have to do is to surrender to Jesus. That's not stupid. That's having a mind of Christ, having the mind of Christ. Again, I want to look at Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene was the first one Jesus showed himself to. Why? Because love beckons Jesus. Love calls Jesus to come. He didn't go to Peter, the leader. No, he didn't go to John, the one he loved. He went to Mary Magdalene, and he went before he ascended into heaven. And by the time he comes to Thomas, he has already ascended into heaven because he says, touch me. To Mary, he says, don't touch me. I tell you, Mary Magdalene had received the most beautiful gift from Jesus. She had been tortured by demons. Seven demons filled her. She was perfectly possessed, and Jesus delivered Mary Magdalene. Oh, yes, that's why she says, where have you laid him? I want you to take me to the place where you've placed him. I'm looking for my Lord. I'm looking for my Lord. She thinks he's dead. But then he comes and says, Mary. And what does he say? My sheep know my voice. Mary knows the voice of her beloved, that Jesus Christ is the teacher. Rabboni, she says. Mary realized it was Jesus by Jesus calling her name, Mary. Oh, Lord, call everyone's name today. Let us know how special we are because of Jesus' death and resurrection. Fill us with the presence of God as we proclaim the mystery of the Passover, that Jesus is our Passover, and that he has rescued us from the grave. May Jesus Christ be praised. Alleluia, alleluia. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.